Good morning, everyone. Can we stand together, please, and go to the Lord together in prayer? Thank you for being in the house of the Lord with us this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it today for the goodness of God. And can we begin by turning our attention to the baptistry this morning? Pastor Malachi is over there, who just finished up a good week at youth camp. And he's here to lead us in baptism this morning. Malachi, before you do that, would you open our service in prayer, please?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of today. God, we thank you that you are here with us in our midst. God, we're thankful that you are Emmanuel. You are God with us. So, Father, we're thankful for all that you are going to do today. God, we pray that, Lord, you would move, you would speak, you would encourage, you would build up. And God, we just thank you for the Adams family and how you're moving in their life. And God, we thank you for this step of obedience. Pray you would bless them and be with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I am here with Matthew Adams. He is a student of mine. He just went to youth camp. Matthew, you can turn around the other way. Matthew, I have a question for you. Have you given your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Awesome. Based upon your profession of faith, I will baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Stay with me. I got another one. Awesome. Alan, you can come here. This is Alan Adams. This is his dad. We have a father and son duo today.
Awesome.
Alan, I have a question for you. Have you given your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Awesome. Based upon your profession of faith, I will baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Ah, did you ever think we would see the Adams family get saved? Yes. Ah, we love the Adamses. They're a wonderful part of our church family. And it's a great joy to celebrate life in Jesus together. Could I have an amen? Is there anybody? Pastor Malachi, turn the light back on for just... Is there anyone else who'd like to be baptized this morning? We're going to be baptizing next Sunday as well. If you'd like to be baptized as a testimony of your faith in Jesus and have not yet done that, the New Testament calls every Christian believer to be baptized in water as a sign of dying to the old life and rising again to new life in Jesus Christ. And so we'll baptize any Sunday and every Sunday. Let us know and we'll be ready. And it's a great joy to celebrate together. Amen. All right, are you ready to worship the Lord this morning? All right, Heidi, come and lead us today and let's worship with all of our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tries to roll over my bones. The song who comes to steal the joy I
yes.
Brokenness in me, you are my hope, my firm foundation, my firm foundation. We sing, 'cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand. Doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide. And I am not a captive to the lies.
Oh yes,
I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. No, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. We sing it, 'cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand. Chance when I stand in. fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. And my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. We're standing on this perfect love. Oh, I cast on all fear. Thank you, Jesus. We praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we stand on who you are. We praise you in this place. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How he loves us. Oh, you are for us. Thank you, Jesus. This table that you prepared for me, in the presence of my enemies, yes. It's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. Oh, let's sing that again. There's a table. This table that you battle. Let's raise our hands. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. And this is how I weep for rage, Lord. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I, oh, give him praise and thanksgiving for all he's done. He's for you. He is for you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Draw us near your cross to be reminded of your sacrifice and that your blood cleansed our sin for now and forever. And Lord, that we would treasure the cross and what you've done for us as we sing this song.
My glory ever.
I heard an old preacher many years ago sing that song. And as he came to that last line of the song, he just continued to repeat the word rest over and over and over again. Rest beyond the river. Rest beyond the river. Of course, that line is referring to the rest that we will experience in heaven someday as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But what we know as children of God living in this world is that in Jesus and in the cross, we can experience rest even now. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened down, heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest from the struggles of this life, rest from the stress and the striving to try to do things our own way. Rest in the Lord and peace that surpasses all understanding. My prayer for all of you today is that you will be able to rest in the Lord today. If you've come with a heavy heart, if you've come with a stirred up mind, if you've come with a world around you that is all discombobulated and out of sorts, I pray you will be able to experience the rest that comes through a relationship with God in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible declares that as believers in Jesus, we are hidden with Christ in God. Oh, that's where I want to stay. Isn't that where you want to stay? Hidden with Christ in God. So, Father, grant us that rest this morning, we pray. Help us to sense the nearness of your presence, the deepness of your love for us today, O Lord. Father, thank you so much that you are a God of faithfulness and a God of grace. We come boldly into your presence today, and we thank you for the privilege of resting in you today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. And amen. Just remain standing for a little while this morning as we take time to invite baby Samuel to come along with his parents, Iwa and Olu. That's what I'm going to call them today. I'll get a further pronunciation in just a few moments as they come. And your family is welcome to come with you. The family and friends, feel free to come on and join us here on the platform as we prepare to dedicate baby Samuel to the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. Good morning. It's such a joy to welcome all of you here today and to celebrate with you the gift of life, the precious gift that God has given us. Do you remember the first time you and I met in the hallways up at the university? As I was walking down the hallway at the university hospital having visited someone, here comes a lady down the hall, great with child. And she waved over at me and said, "Hello, Pastor." I said, "Do we know each other?" She said, "Yes, we're part of your church family." I said, and we had a wonderful conversation that day, and I would meet you a little bit later than that. And I remember that day thinking, this baby is coming soon. Now baby Samuel is with us today. And what a precious name that is, Samuel. As Hannah in the Old Testament prayed for a child. She prayed the Lord would give her a child. That was the desire of her heart. And when Samuel was born, she named him Samuel, saying, "I asked for this child, and the Lord has granted me." And Samuel would grow to become one of the mightiest men of God in the pages of Scripture. And that's what we're going to pray for this little child who's with us today. We're going to pray God's blessing, his anointing upon his life, for the protection of the Lord to surround him, for God to give you as his parents divine wisdom and grace and strength to bring up this little boy in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a privilege it is to be family together with you today. I know, what country have you come from? Nigeria. I want you to know today that as we stand here in the very center of the United States of America, right here in Jefferson City, Missouri, we're so grateful that our family in the Lord stretches all around the world. And through Jesus Christ, today we are family in the Lord. What a joy that is. One day when we get to heaven, there are going to be people from every tribe, every kindred, every people, every nation. And we see that picture before us today. So, would he come to me? Come, Samuel. Let me see if he'll come right now. Oh, he's a good boy. Let me introduce him to you today. Oh, isn't he beautiful? Everybody, wave up here at him, would you? Wave. Say hi. Good morning. All right, we hold before us today a precious life, fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, his creator, with divine purpose written all over him today. And we gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Congregation, stretch your hands this way and agree with us in prayer as we pray right now. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the precious gift of life that you've given us. Thank you for these parents who are standing here today in humility and gratitude, recognizing, Father God, that every good and perfect gift has come from you, our Heavenly Father. Thank you for blessing this family. Thank you for this extended family gathered as well. And thank you for baby Samuel, whom we hold in our arms today. We pray over him the richness of God's blessing. We pray that you would keep him, that you would protect him, that you would watch over him, that you would guide and direct him, that you would supply everything he needs to thrive and to flourish and to fulfill your good purpose for his life. We pray, God, that in the days to come, as he begins to understand things more fully, that as his parents introduce him to Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, that he himself will choose to follow Jesus. And that should the Lord Jesus delay his coming, that God, you would just transform this young man into a mighty man of God. Make him a mighty man just as Samuel was in the days of the Bible. We pray, oh God, that he would fulfill every piece and part of your destiny for his life. We rebuke the devourer and pray, oh God, that every attack that would be posed against him would fail, and that Samuel would live in the blessing of the Lord and the victory of the Lord all the days of his life. We dedicate him to you, our Lord God, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said together, amen and amen. Oh, yes and yes and yes, amen. Oh, what a good little boy. Hold, we have a gift for you today in honor of his dedication and a certificate of dedication that we'd like to present to you today. And we say, God bless you and supply for you so abundantly in his grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Let's give him a hand clap today. God bless you all. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, and you too. Iwa, get me a Heidi. Let me pronounce your full name for me.
Iwa Lewa, but I go by Iwa.
Iwa, and oh,
Oluwa Toba.
Oh, can I call you Olu?
Toba.
Tuba is the short. Amen. Give him another hand clap today, please. God bless you. Pastor Ryan?
Yes.
You may be seated, everyone. Pastor Ryan, share with us what's happening this week.
Good morning, everybody. It is so good to see you this morning. I'm excited to share with you that we have Mega Sports Camp starting tomorrow. And so, parents, quick heads up, if you haven't registered your kids yet, today is the last day to do that online. So make sure that you get them signed up, get them registered. because tomorrow you'll have to do it all on paper and clog up the whole line, and you don't want to do that. I know you. You want things to run smooth and quick, so go ahead and register online today. I'm excited to say that of the 84 kids we have registered online, there's a huge chunk of them that I have never read those names before, which means the community is getting involved and coming onto our property to meet with the Lord this week, and I'm so excited about that. So this is our opportunity to share Jesus and to share him in a way that's a little bit unique through sports and through different stories of athletes who have dedicated their lives to the Lord. And I'm so excited about it. It's going to be a great week. If you haven't signed up to help yet, show up tomorrow at 5:30. We'll get you plugged in. It's going to be a great, great week in the Lord, and we are excited for what God's going to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Ryan. I've been praying that Pastor Ryan would feel led in his heart to add one more sport, the real sport, to the mega sports camp, my sport, debate. And we'll see if the Lord moves on his heart to do that. Due to Mega Sports Camp, well, there'll be no regular services this Wednesday night. And so take a rest and relax this Wednesday night. We also want to remind you this morning that in the lobby, we are set up to register people to vote. If you've not yet registered to vote, we believe in the privilege of voting here and voting our Christian standards. And so we are prepared to register you for voting. That will get you in time for all of the elections of this rest of this year. And thank you to Jerry and Linda Tillinghast, who are taking care of that for us. Let's stand together one more time this morning. We'll sing once more before we move into the Word of God for today. And Heidi, come and lead us, please.
They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do.
Oh, yes.
There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change.
Let's declare.
We haven't seen what you can do. There is power in your name.
Oh, yes.
So much power in your name. Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe it. God, we believe for it. Oh, yes, we believe. We know that hope is never lost. For there is still an empty grave. God, we believe.
Unbreakable, God.
clap this morning. Amen. You may be seated, everyone. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much, Heidi and worship team this morning, for leading us to the Lord in praise and worship. That's going to be a key component to our message this morning as we look into the pages of the Old Testament. This morning we are missing Pastors Bob and Deanna, Pastor Peter and Tixiana, all on vacation today, and we wish them a very, very happy vacation, a time of rest and refreshing, and look forward to their return to us. We have with us in the house this morning, back in church with church family, Sandy Ballinger. This past Tuesday, we said goodbye with a beautiful memorial service for Ted Ballinger, a longtime precious brother in our church family. Sandy, we love you. We're praying God would sustain you and strengthen you. We know that He will, and we look forward to seeing Ted again one of these days. I believe it's going to be soon. I believe Jesus is coming soon. I believe that. And so we're looking forward to that, looking forward to heaven. Joyce Snellen, it's good to see you back in church as well after a long season of rehab. Welcome back to the house of the Lord. When our family members have to be out and about, we're so glad to welcome them home. Could I have an amen? And so glad to have all of you in the house of the Lord today. We're looking to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 this morning as we continue our examination of some of the familiar, famous battles in the pages of the Old Testament. This is our third lesson. On our first Sunday morning, we looked at the battle between the Israelites and the Amalekites. And we saw Moses standing on top of the hill with his hands lifted up to heaven, stretched out, trusting the Lord for victory. We watched as he was seated then upon a stone, and Aaron and Hur helped to hold his hands up to the Lord, trusting the Lord and reaching to the Lord for the Lord's help and the Lord's victory. How many of you know that in the struggles of this world and this life, we need the Lord? I often come to this conclusion. We need the Lord far more than we even realize it. We need the Lord. And Moses finished that battle. The Lord won the battle. Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, we won this battle because hands were lifted up to the throne of God. He gave the credit to the Lord. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the battle of the breakthrough, fought by the young King David, as he had just come into the kingdom to rule in Jerusalem, and the enemies, the Philistines, came against him and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. But David went to inquire of the Lord and said, "Lord, what should we do?" And the Lord said, "Go on and attack them, because I will give the victory into your hands." And David went, and David said, after that battle was won, "The Lord has broken through my enemies like a breakthrough of water." We talked about the reality of a God who can bring breakthrough victories in our lives. When it seems like there's a roadblock between us and God's victory, God can break down the wall. Would you say amen? Amen. This morning, we come to another familiar battle in the pages of the Old Testament, and one of my personal favorites, the story of King Jehoshaphat. Everybody say Jehoshaphat. Now, let me tell you from the start of this, we're not going to be calling him Jumpin' Jehoshaphat. And there, you know, I like to remain biblical. There's no biblical evidence that Jehoshaphat was a jumper. And so we'll call him King Jehoshaphat in the story this morning. He was reigning and ruling at Jerusalem when a great combined army gathered together to bring an attack against him. And they were on their way as we begin the story this morning in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But I want to remind you this morning that as believers here in 2024 in Jefferson City, Missouri, we're not fighting physical armies. We're fighting spiritual adversaries. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians and said, "We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against all kinds of spiritual demonic realities." And those spiritual attacks come at us in many forms. Think about some of the ways in which we battle spiritually. We battle against fear and worry and stress and anxiety. Has anybody ever been there? Sure we have. That's a familiar battlefield. We struggle sometimes against the spirits of offendedness and unforgiveness and bitterness and the desire to get revenge. That's an attack from the enemy that sometimes we struggle against to prevail and get the victory over those things. And if you're here today and you're battling against bitterness, I want you to know God wants to bring you to the victory when it comes to bitterness and unforgiveness. We think about enemies like these: frustration and anger, an angry spirit, temptation perhaps even to be angry at God sometimes. How many of you know that when we're tempted to be angry at God, that's an attack from the devil? And the enemy is working to divide us from our relationship with God. We battle against envy and resentment and greed and discouragement and depression and doubt and despair and defeat and hopelessness. We battle against doubting God's goodness. We battle sometimes against sinful addictions and attractions, a troublesome thought life, spiritual deception and darkness that comes against us and our families. Sometimes we battle against rejection and loneliness and shame and guilt and condemnation over the sins of our past. We battle sometimes with distractions that want to pull us away from God. And sometimes we face distractions that want to pull us away from God, what God wants us to do in life. The assignments he's given us, the enemy would like to distract us away from those things so that our jobs remain unfinished and our assignments go undone. We face attacks from the world and the devil in every kind of form. Attacks on our families. Attacks on our health, attacks on our finances, attacks on our relationships, and the list goes on and on and on. The Apostle Peter said the devil, our adversary, is like a roaring lion who is roaming about seeking for someone to devour. I want you to know the enemy's plan for you is to try to devour you. But as we said last Sunday, we ought to be rising up when we hear that and declaring, he's not going to devour me. I'm going to stand strong in the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to move forward in the Lord. I'm going to drive out the enemy in the name of the Lord. I'm going to submit myself to God and resist the devil, and he's going to flee from me, and I'm going to walk on in the plan and the purpose of God. Listen, sometimes we just have to rise up and get a little bit sassy and say, the devil is not going to have his way in my life. I'm going to go with God. And so we've been looking at these battles in the pages of Scripture to learn principles for spiritual warfare and to think about how God's people did battle in the pages of the Bible and learn spiritual strategies from those Old Testament victories. I don't know about you, but when I see somebody win a victory, I want to learn all the lessons I can from that victory, don't you? So this morning we come to a wonderful story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and this story really has some very simple principles, but they are laid out for us in very powerful fashion in the Scriptures. The principles, let's just start with right up front. The clear principles in this story are these. When you have a powerful adversary come against you, number one, you need to go to God in prayer and confident prayer. Could you say amen? Number two, you need to listen to the word of God. Would you say amen? And the third principle is you need to continue to praise God as if the battle is already won. And be a person who is so confident in the promises of God that you praise him before you ever finish the story. Prayer, the word of God, and praise. Let's look at it together, and we begin with a frightening predicament faced by God's people. The story begins like this in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Red Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is, in Gedi. So we learn three things right up front about this attack. Number one, the enemy is coming. Number two, the enemy, this enemy, is colossal. This was an enemy comprised of several people groups gathered together to come against God's people. The enemy is coming, the enemy is colossal, and the enemy is close. In fact, the scripture says the report came to King Jehoshaphat, this army, this great army, is already in Hazazon Tamar. If we were to look onto the map this morning, if we were to look onto the map, we would see that this army was already about 36 miles south of Jerusalem. King Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel there in Jerusalem, a vast army some 36 miles to their south, moving in their direction. How many of you know, with that scenario, it's time to pray? And so that frightening predicament led Jehoshaphat to bring the people together for a season of fervent prayer. Look at verse number 3. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek the Lord. A great prayer meeting gathered together. Verse 5, then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, here's his prayer, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? Everybody say, God is in heaven. You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Everybody say, our God is a great God. He continued his prayer, Oh, our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us. Everybody say, the Lord hears us. Jehoshaphat said, you will hear us, Lord, and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power. Everybody say, no power. We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now that's a wise king, isn't it? A wise king is humble regarding his own abilities and confident in the Lord's abilities. We don't know what to do, but our eyes, Lord, are upon you. Think about that fervent prayer that they prayed that day. They prayed collectively, they gathered together, and they prayed confidently. You know, there's a story in the New Testament of a man who brought his little son to Jesus. Jesus was actually up on a mountaintop, so he wasn't there at the moment. And so the dad brought the little boy to the disciples. And they said, my little boy is grievously vexed by a demonic spirit. And that demonic spirit is trying to kill him. And would you cast the demonic spirit out? The disciples tried to cast the evil spirit out, but they could not. Then Jesus comes down from the mountain. He comes down into the midst of that crowd. He says, what's going on here? The dad says, I brought my boy to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And Jesus said, oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I deal with this? Bring the boy to me. They brought the boy to Jesus. And Jesus addressed the boy, and the dad said this to Jesus. He said, if you can do anything, have pity on us and help us. Everybody say, if you can. Say it out loud, if you can. If you can. If you can do anything, have pity on us and help us. Let me just urge you this morning, as members of First Assembly, never say to God, if you can. Jesus corrected him and said, if you can, all things are possible to the one who believes. How many of you know that if you're going to bother to pray, you ought to pray with confidence? And when Jehoshaphat led the people in prayer to the Lord, he prayed with confidence. He said, God, you're the God of heaven and earth. God, you're the God of our history. You brought us through before. God, you're the God of hope when everything seems hopeless. And God, you're the God of the helpless. When we don't know what to do, when we can't do it in ourselves, we can look to you. And God, though it might be impossible with men, all things are possible with God. And he prayed confidently. I want you to know, dear friends, that faith seizes God's attention. God is moved with compassion, but God honors our faith. When we call upon him in confidence, the Lord hears and is pleased. And so the army was advancing. Jehoshaphat and the people of God prayed. And they prayed a doozy of a prayer. God, you're a big God. We need your help, and we know that you can do it. And they prayed, and they waited. And as they waited before the Lord, they were waiting for something. We don't know exactly what they were waiting for, but as a result of that prayer meeting, God sent forth a fiery prophecy into that prayer meeting. Now think about the picture with me this morning. Here they are, they've prayed, now they're waiting before the Lord, and as they're waiting, God speaks. Notice what the Lord said. Here we have it in verse 13. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. There they are. They've given it to God. They're standing there. Verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and a descendant of Asaph. He stood in the assembly and said, so as they're waiting before the Lord, somebody stands up to give a word from God, to speak a word from God. Now, before we go any further, let me remind you of who this man was that stood up. His name was Jehaziel. That may not mean much to us, but his great, 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 great granddaddy certainly has a name that is familiar to us. This man, Jehaziel, was a descendant of a man named Asaph. Everybody say Asaph. We know Asaph as a prophet in the pages of the Old Testament, but mostly we know him as a psalmist. He was one of the writers of many of the psalms that we find in the book of Psalms, a man named Asaph. Do you know that in Psalm 73, Asaph admits to us that he almost dropped out of the ministry because of discouragement? Did you know that sometimes people drop out of the ministry because of discouragement? And Asaph, when he was going through a season of real discouragement, he almost dropped out of the ministry. He said in Psalm 73, my foot almost slipped. I almost lost my way. I almost said the wrong things. I almost gave up on God and gave up on the ministry. Thank God Asaph didn't give up on God. Thank God he stayed in the ministry. And thank God he would raise up descendants who would be used generations later to continue to bring the word of God to the people of God. Look at me, everybody, wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever you're going through, don't give up on God. Don't lie down in defeat. Don't give up in discouragement. Continue to trust the Lord to bring you through. There are other people who are depending on your record of faithfulness. Could I have a better amen? Hang in there. It's not just you we're talking about. It's your circle of influence. It's your family. It's your descendants. Hang in there and serve God. And Asaph continued to serve God after that season of discouragement. Now, generations later, his great, 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 how many to ever times great grandson is standing up to give a prophecy in the midst of this crisis. Listen to the prophecy he speaks forth. And he addresses, you know, King Jehoshaphat had led the prayer, but we got a multitude of people there for prayer meeting. And when Jehaziel speaks up, he speaks directly to the king. He's a prophet, but he's not afraid to speak to the king. How many of you know when you have the word of the Lord, you can speak out to anybody anywhere? And look what he says. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all you who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Everybody say, the battle belongs to the Lord. Tomorrow, the Lord says, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. Now, here's what I find interesting about that. God knows and reveals where the enemy is going to be tomorrow. Do you get that? The Lord knows. He knows. He knows where you are. He knows where your enemy is. He knows where your enemy is going to be tomorrow. He knows where you're going to be tomorrow. And the Lord says, this is where you're going to find them. And you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Didn't he already say that? Yes. But how many of you know, if we were to be honest, we would need the Lord to say that to us over and over and over again in life. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. Look up at me, everybody. Look up at me, everybody in the house. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. The Lord is with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow and the Lord will be with you. A powerful word. That word brought assurance of victory to the people of God. Yes, this army has come against you, but God says, I'm going to take care of this. Now, this is one of multiple occasions in the scripture where the people of God did not have to lift one sword against the great enemy. But the Lord marched in between the enemy and God's people, and the Lord squashed down the enemy. The Lord is able to save by many or by few. In other words, the Lord does not need a sizable army to bring about a victory to his people. Are you here? The Lord doesn't need all of our ingenuity, our intelligence, our human wisdom. The Lord doesn't need any of that. What the Lord wants from us is trust and confidence. Amen? What the Lord wants from us is to acknowledge that he is the source of the victory. That's what the Lord wants from us. And the Lord brought about this victory on his own. The prophecy came forth, and verse 18 says, Jehoshaphat, having heard this prophecy, bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Get the picture now. They've heard this word. God's going to bring you victory. And what do they do? Starting with the king, and then the whole congregation following, they all fall down on the ground. What was that? That was a show of humility. That was a show of sensing the great awe of being in the presence of the Lord, where the word of the Lord would be spoken forth to them. They had heard a good, merciful, loving word from God. And as a result, they fell down on their faces to worship God in reverence. I love that picture. But that's not where the story stops. As they're all on the ground, bowing low before the Lord, waiting again upon the Lord, the scripture says this, then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up. They're all on the ground on their faces. But suddenly, a few guys, they stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with very loud voice. Now, I've been in Pentecostal church services all of my life. I've had times where people have said about someone shouting out in praise, well, that was inappropriate at the time. That's what happened right here. They're all in this season of reverence, quiet worship before the Lord, and these Levites stand up, the Kohathites and the Korahites, they stand up in the middle of all that, and they break the silence with a shout. And by the way, with a very loud shout. And they began to praise the Lord. I think what happened was suddenly they got it. They had all heard that word from the Lord. A great victory is coming your way. A great victory is coming your way. Everybody heard it. Everybody was in awe that God would speak. But now a small group of men, that word from God strikes into their hearts and they say, oh, the Lord just told us a great victory is coming. We can't lie here on the ground anymore. We've got to stand up and shout the victory to the Lord. And they begin to praise God with a very loud voice. I believe that was the gift of faith operating in the pages of the Old Testament. They got it. Listen, everybody, when you get it, you'll move in a new direction. Are you hearing me? When you finally get what God is trying to tell you, you might stand up and shout as well. I've told this story before, but I'll never forget. One day, many, many years ago, here in the sanctuary for a morning pastor's prayer time, the pastors would meet in here from 8 to 9. This is decades ago. And I had a young pastor on staff at that time. And we had a few folks from the congregation who would come and join us for the morning prayer times. And we had a little African lady. By the way, our sister here, mom, she's a physician at the University of Missouri. This was a physician family from Africa. And the lady would come. She would join us for the early morning prayer times. And she would lie back there in the back. And we would go about our dignified pastoral praying and move about the sanctuary. And every now and then, this sister in the back would do this. Woo! Woo! Right in the middle of our quiet, dignified Assemblies of God prayer time, she would go, woo! And all of us would go, I'll never forget one morning after the prayer time, my young pastor who was working with, whom I love today and who is a wonderful man of God today, he said to me after the prayer time, I wish she wouldn't do that. That's what he said. I wish she wouldn't do that. I'll never forget my gut response to him that day. It may not have been very kind, but it was true. I said to him, well, when you get what she has, when you get what she's got, you might do what she does. When you get what she's got, you might do what she does. There it is. Somebody's got it back there. Woo! Sometimes a realization and a revelation of God's word to us just strikes right down into the depths of our being, and all we can do is go, whoo! Wow! God has spoken. And that fiery prophecy that came forth that day, as the worshipers were waiting, and the Spirit spoke, and the prophet preached, and the hearers heard. That show of humility resulted in a sudden shout of hope on the part of those who were gathered there, some of those Levites. Let me just pause right there to talk about one of those Levites as well. We talked about that descendant of Asaph who almost dropped out of the ministry, right? Aren't you glad Asaph didn't drop out of the ministry? What about these guys who stood up and shouted out praise to the Lord? Some of them were the descendants of the Korahites. Do you know who Korah was in the pages of the Bible? Korah didn't almost drop out of the ministry. He was kicked out of the ministry. You might even say he was squashed out of the ministry. He rebelled against God, and God judged him and put him to death. Korah was an evil man who disrespected and disregarded God. But you know what? Some of his sons continued to serve the Lord. Isn't that awesome? I say to you this morning here in the house of God, I don't care what kind of negative family influences you may have in the past, what kind of, you might think, I've got generational curses and chains upon me. I want you to know this morning, no generational curse, no chain of negative family influences can hold you back. When Jesus Christ becomes the Lord of your life and you make up your mind to serve God, it doesn't matter what anybody else has done, go on and serve God. Go on and serve God. Listen, and God won't hold your family history against you. Hallelujah. God won't hold your own sins and your own history against you. God will raise you up for his purposes and his plans. God can thrust you into a brand new ministry. I love this story for many reasons, but maybe one of the chief reasons I love this story is because of the people whom God used. Somebody whose granddaddy almost dropped out of the ministry, and somebody whose granddaddy got kicked out of the ministry, but the grandkids are still going. They're still serving. They're still praising. They're still praying. They're still worshiping God. They're determined to be who God wants them to be in the midst of their generation. All that was a rabbit trail. Their frightening predicament, their fervent prayer, the fiery prophecy. And then we come to their response to the prophecy and the forceful praises they employed to bring about the victory that day. Go on down to verse number 20 as we continue the story, all right? They've heard the word of God and they've rejoiced. Now what happens the next day? Verse 20, early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful." In other words, people, let's believe the word of God that has come to us. Let's march forth believing that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. And verse 21, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. Now, who does that? Who would send the praise team out before the army? You'd have to be pretty confident in the Lord to make that decision, wouldn't you? So instead of having the kung fu fighters out in the front lines, are you here? Instead of having the jujitsu, I better get off of that. Instead of having the superheroes out front to lead the way, they chose to send the praise team out first. In front of the army. Now, no one would do that unless you believed that God was going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. No one would send the praise team out at the front of the army unless they believed, as God said, that the army was not going to lift a finger to win the victory that day. God was going to do it on his own. And so they put the praisers out front, and the praisers go out at the front of the army, and they're singing and saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Say it with me. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love. Try it again. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. You say, boy, that's a pretty simple chorus. Yes, and that chorus has been repeated in the pages of the Old Testament. It was way back at the dedication of Solomon's temple where they used the same chorus. Oh, the Lord is good and his love endures forever. The Lord is good and his love endures forever. Sometimes we think we've got to have all of these fancy, lyrics, that are all, smartened up by us. Well, what God wants is a heart of praise and worship. that simply enters into his presence. When they dedicated the temple with this song, the presence and power of God came down so strongly in the temple that the priests couldn't even do their work because the cloud of God's presence was there in the house of God just as a result of this little song. I wonder what, sometimes I've wondered through the years, what would happen if on a Sunday morning we just chose to take the whole morning to repeat the same little chorus to the Lord in worship all morning. The Lord is good and his love endures forever. The Lord is good and his love endures forever. Maybe the presence and the power would come down and shake us afresh and anew and revive us and bring us into new life in God. Whatever the case, this praise chorus used by the army that day was exceedingly and exceptionally pleasing to God. Because verse 22 says, as they began to sing and praise the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. What did God do to win the battle that day? God sent a great confusion into the camp of the enemy, and they destroyed each other. Friends, our God has unlimited options for bringing us the victory and the deliverance we need. Unlimited options. When we think, how am I going to settle this issue? We think, well, here are three potentials. One, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. Two, if that doesn't work, I'll try plan B. Three, here's, and if one, two, and three don't work, I guess we're just sunk. We think like that. But our God is a God of limitless options. He is able to move into a situation. He is the God. He is the all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful God. He is able to move into a situation and see things that you and I have never seen. Are you here? He's able to diagnose the situation in a way that we could never have diagnosed it. We don't know that much, but God knows it all. God came in and brought confusion into the camp, and those enemy armies all turned on each other and killed each other and destroyed each other. And there are the, oh, listen, there are the people of God just watching in amazement and declaring, no doubt, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. When the men of Judah, verse 24, came to that place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it all. Think about this with me today now. Not only did the Lord thwart off the attack, but the Lord left a bunch of supplies and goodies behind for his people. Isn't that just like the Lord? Not only was the enemy destroyed, but all the enemy's junk, all the enemy's resources, all the enemy's riches, all the enemy's equipment was left there for the people of God. And listen, it didn't take God's army one moment to win the victory. God won it for them. But it took them 3 days to collect all the plunder that was left behind. Isn't that just like God? Here, look at me, everybody. Look, I want somebody to hear this morning. I want somebody to hear this loud and clear. You may be fighting through a fierce battle and you're hanging on to God and trusting God. I want you to know, though you may not be able to see it right now, I want you to know, you may very well come out of that battle richer and more blessed than you've ever been before. That's the kind of God we serve. Sometimes we think, if the Lord just brings me through this so I can make it through by the skin of my teeth. No, listen, God is able to bring you through to victory and then to pile upon you a whole bunch of blessings as a result of what you've been through. Amen. Put up your hands and praise the Lord for a minute. Thank him right now for the way he works. Can you do it right now? Thank the Lord for the way he works. Yes, yes, yeah. Come on, lift your voice for a minute and thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for the way he works in our lives. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you, oh Lord. There is none like you, Lord. Oh, there is nobody like you, Lord. Woo, you are the Lord our God. We praise you today. Hallelujah. You are able, oh God, to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or imagine. You are God and there is no other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift up a hallelujah to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody say, God's going to get me through. Come on, say it out loud. God's going to get me through. Hallelujah. 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 Excuse me for just a minute, folks. I need an extra minute myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're a mighty God. You're an awesome God. You are a wonderful God. You are a loving God. You are a gracious God. You are a merciful God. You are the all-wise God. You're the Lord my shepherd. You're the Lord my banner. You're the Lord my provider. You are everything to us, O Lord. We praise you. And we bless you today, O Lord. You are the God of our victory. Hallelujah. And as they began to praise the Lord, the victory came. I think of Paul and Silas in the New Testament, in the city of Philippi. Thrown into jail, there in jail at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas began to pray and sing praises to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. And as they sang and praised the Lord, a great earthquake sent by God Almighty himself shook the prison and broke open the prison bars and loosed everybody from the chains that were on them, and they were free in the name of Jesus. I want you to know, dear friends, there's power when we praise God in faith. Are you here this morning? There's power when we pray in confidence, when we hear the word of God, and when we praise God in confidence and faith. Verse 26 says, on the fourth day they assembled in the valley of Beraka, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the valley of Beraka to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and lyres. Listen to me. Listen to me. The same King Jehoshaphat who led them in prayer before the battle is now the same King Jehoshaphat who leads them in praise after the battle. Has anybody here this morning ever been through a real battle, a real struggle? Has anybody ever been through something? Come on. Is there anybody here, you've been through something, but God brought you through? Say amen. How many of you are on the other side of a trial right now? God has brought you through some stuff. Say amen. Oh, just as you prayed with fervency when the attack first came, when the attack is finished and God has brought you through, you ought to stand on the mountain and say, God has been mighty good to me. I praise the Lord today. He's brought me through. He's my source of victory. He's my song and my shield, my mighty tower, my strong fortress. The Lord is on my side and I've got the victory because of the Lord my God. Oh, yes, yes, yes. We ought to be people of passionate prayer, and we ought to be people of passionate praise when God brings us through. Verse 29 closes out the story. The fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel, and the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. They rejoiced and praised God, and they rested in the peace of God. Now look up at me, everybody. I don't know who you are, where you've been, and what you're facing right now. What I do know is this: God loves you, and God is able to bring you through what you're facing right now and bring you to a place of rest and peace. He is able. Will you trust him today? I said, will you trust him today? Will you give it to God in confident prayer? Will you hear the word, the promises of God, huh? And will you praise God even before the day is done? Will you give him glory, declaring that he is the God who's going to bring you through to the victory? Will you praise him? I said, will you praise him like you believe the battle is already won in the hands of the Lord? Oh, yes, thank you, Lord. You're more than enough for us.